I've recently got really into jazz as a way of getting deeper into the music that I already love. Take this song. It's practically an anthem in our newsroom. We listen to it every day. It's beautiful. It's profound, you know? Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. That is so deep, you know? But lately, I gotta say, it started to sound really stale to me. You know, I've heard it so many times. So I found this ridiculously amazing jazz cover of it. Here. It's still the same song, but suddenly I'm hearing these rich, new tonalities that only jazz can uncover. I'm hearing... Wait a minute, stop the music, please? I'm sorry, I can't believe I goofed that up. That's their cover version of Call Me Maybe. Today on the show, brush up on the jazz you missed in 2013. And now he's wearing one of Mel Torme's old sweaters over one of Nancy Wilson's old dresses. Colin McEnroe. Okay, play the Wonderwall cover. That's what I'm talking about. Because maybe, maybe, maybe gonna be the one that saved me.
It is a different song the way they do it, though. And by the way, that's what I wear every day, is one of Mel Torme's old sweaters over Nancy Wilson's dress. I don't see why that's even worth talking about. So we are going to talk today about jazz. And I think for a lot of us, it is, you know, I mean, if you're not going to make yourself a maven, you may love jazz, but it's kind of hard to keep up with it all. So once a year, usually prompted by our friend Gene Seymour, when he puts out his top 10 or top 20 list, we do a show about what everybody thought were the best jazz releases of 2013. So let me tell you how it's going to go today. Gene Seymour is joining us from NPR in Washington, D.C., the mothership. He's written about music and movies and other media for Newsday, The Nation, Los Angeles Times, and American History. Chuck Obuchowski is right here in the studio with me. He's the host of Out Here and Beyond on WWUH. And as we go along here today, we're also going to have visits with three different musicians. Towards the end of the show, you'll hear our friend Noah Behrman, jazz pianist, composer, educator, author, lots of things. Sort of in the middle of the show, you'll hear from Joel Fromm, tenor saxophonist and composer. Right here at the top of the show, even before Chuck and Gene kind of get going with their list, we thought we would bring in another of our favorite musicians. Joining us right now is Jane Ira Bloom. Jane Ira Bloom is a soprano saxophonist and composer. Her latest album, which I think, based on what I listened to getting ready for this show, might be my favorite jazz album of 2013. It just released. It just dropped. So it probably didn't get on everybody's lists because it's right at the end of the year here. It's called 16 Sunsets. It's amazing. Jane Ira Bloom is amazing. And she's with us right now from New York. Hi.
Hi.
So tell us, we asked you to sort of pick one song, one track by somebody else that you really loved in 2013. Tell us what you picked.
I picked Keith Jarrett's Somewhere, Everywhere.
All right, we're going to play just a little bit of that and then let you talk about why it's significant to you. But let's hear a little bit of that right now. So, Jane Ira Bloom, we're going to keep it playing a little bit underneath you. Tell us why you picked this. Obviously, Keith Jarrett's a legend. He turns up on a lot of top 10 lists in a lot of years. Why this song? Why this year?
This guy gives me goosebumps. And this recording, you put together a great composer like Leonard Bernstein with an improviser who just has such a natural, the purest sense of spontaneity. and imagination in the moment. That's this guy. That's Keith Jarrett. He gives me goosebumps. I hear this melody, and I was just sitting here listening as you were playing it, thinking, man, that sounds great.
Do you think it's different when an artist plays a song with which we already have a lot of really, really deep associations, that are connected to the original musical itself and deep associations from all the other ways that we've heard that song? Isn't it kind of a different experience for the artist and the listener as opposed to an artist playing a song that's relatively new to everybody, maybe even a recent composition by the artist?
I think it's part of it. Mm. The other part of it is the genius of the musician. Keith Jarrett is a pianist. I don't know if people know it, but he used to be a saxophone player. He is a saxophone player. I'm a saxophone player, so whenever I hear him play, I feel like he makes the piano breathe just like a saxophone or like a voice, like he's singing.
That's an amazing observation. And I'm going to bring our savants in here to talk with you, too, Jane Ira Bloom. Gene Seymour down in D.C., I remember other years where you did have Keith Jarrett, I think sometimes even more than one Keith Jarrett CD on your list, right?
Yeah, and first I want to say, Jane, you give me goosebumps, too, actually, when I hear you. But, when he's with that trio, especially with Gary Peacock on bass and Jack DeJohnette on drums, which in my opinion, is the best jazz piano trio working right now. It really brings that lyrical side to him. You know, all of the resources can be brought together, and when he takes hold of a melody, some of the best things he's done in the last few years has been of that type, where he takes a classic pop melody or classic melody, and just plunges into the contours of the melody itself and finds new ways to draw feeling out of it. I think that what Jane said is exactly right. He gets those essences of those melodies.
And you know, Chuck, there are so many iterations of Keith Jarrett, too. There's this one with,
yes.
I mean, he's not one guy. You know, maybe people who don't listen to a lot of jazz think of the Coln concert or something like that, and that's Keith Jarrett. But
right.
I have an old friend, used to be a jazz bassist, a friend by the name of Mark Levinson, who used to describe players like Keith Jarrett as pearl stringers. Mm. These are guys who put notes together like they're pearls. he's one of them.
But as you were saying, Colin, Keith also released an album this year that didn't get nearly as much attention. It actually is from the vaults of him recording at his home studio, where he was playing every single instrument overdubbed many times, and it's got a very, very different feel. So as you say, he's got many dimensions to him. The other thing I think that needs to be said about this latest recording and all the recordings with the trio is that group with bassist Gary Peacock and drummer Jack DeJohnette has been together for over a quarter century, and they're one of the longest-lived groups on the scene today, and you can really hear it in the rapport that they share together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, Jane Ira Bloom, you know, in that connection, you sometimes work with new musicians, sometimes you work with people you've worked with for a long time. What do you say to what Chuck says about that idea of continuity
right.
with
Casting
the same people?
Casting is everything. And the maturity that you hear from players who've known each other for so long, especially when they're playing, you know, the standards, a lot of people think that musicians, when they're playing, that they communicate with one another like dialogue, like you're having a conversation. But in effect, it's much more like Ornette Coleman. These guys are so tuned in to the same piece of music that they're all thinking about the same thing, but all thinking about it in their own ways simultaneously that makes this magic happen.
Well, Gene Ira Bloom, it's been magic having you on. We're very honored that you joined us today, and I do encourage everybody to check out 16 Sunsets. This is the new Gene Ira Bloom release, I've just been loving it for the last couple of days, getting
well,
ready for
thanks
this.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to move on here to one of Gene's picks. This is Gene Seymour, one of our guests today. We're going to play it first and then talk a little bit about it. The artist is David Weiss. The tune is Nellie Bly from the album Endangered Species. We'll be right back. and trombone aficionados will probably recognize right there. That's our own Steve Davis, Hartford's own Steve Davis, who's been a guest on the show in the past, playing trombone on that cut. Chuck says, I might be wrong about the name of the album. Maybe the album's called Endangered Species. The group plays the music of Wayne Shorter. It's hard to say what.
No, well, I'll clarify it. Endangered Species. Yeah, it's the name of the band.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the title of the record is The Music of Wayne Shorter. We heard a piece called Nellie Bly, which was one of Wayne Shorter's earlier compositions. Wayne Shorter, as many of your listeners might know, is considered the greatest living jazz composer right now. He has written many of the tunes that you're familiar with that he played with Miles Davis, such as Footsteps and Nefertiti and Speak No Evil. This group that was assembled by David Weiss, which is I call it a murderer's row of great musicians, not just Steve Davis, but also Jerry Allen on piano, Jeremy Pelt on trumpet, Ravi Coltrane on saxophone. It's an incredible group, a 12-piece band, and it's basically a repertory band that he's using to sort of find orchestral versions of Wayne Shorter's work. And what makes this album revelatory to me was that he managed to find, he didn't go to the usual spots, the best-known pieces, but to some of the pieces that aren't as well-known, and he's managed to mount these really thick, juicy, delicious arrangements that in many ways solidify Wayne Shorter's stature as the greatest living American jazz composer by showing them just how flexible they can be, how much deeper they can be, how much energy, and also how accessible they can be melodically. The great thing about Shorter's work is that he has, in his written work, he has these incredible hooks. This is just one of them. He wrote this when he was like a young, just starting out as a young saxophone player with Maynard Ferguson's big band. You can probably imagine Maynard Ferguson's band playing this.
Yeah, and I agree. That was very accessible, too. I mean, I'm a good test of this because I'm a Philistine. So as it gets, the more bop it gets, the more confused I get. I just want to quickly say, if you want to chime in with your own favorite jazz selections, releases from 2013, give us a call, 860-275-7266. 860-275-7266. It's also worth noting that Wayne Shorter turned 80 this year. In August. And so, Chuck, I heard you and Gene talking about this before we went on the air. I think you were both saying it might be the best Wayne Shorter release of the year, even though Wayne Shorter had a release this year.
Yes, the Endangered Species album, as Gene said, does such a great job of showing the breadth of Wayne Shorter's music over the decades, whereas the current Wayne Shorter release that was issued this year, Orbits, is a snapshot of where Wayne has been at recently, which is wonderful and very exciting. And there's a piece that features the Imani Winds woodwind quintet along with
who played in Hartford this year.
Yes, they did over at the University of Hartford. But anyway, so that is a very fascinating realm of music that you don't often hear from Wayne. But anyway, Endangered Species, David Weiss is just such a fabulous arranger, and he's sort of made a niche for himself doing these different tributes. Last year, he was touring with a band called The Cookers that brought together some great veterans of the 60s and 70s, and they played in Hartford last year, fantastic band. And Dave, although he plays trumpet, is pretty much assumes the role of arranger and band leader and stays in the background most of the time when it comes to the music.
Chuck, since you mentioned Orbits, the Wayne Shorter release, this is by Wayne Shorter himself. Let's play a little bit of that. Okay, a little less melodic and accessible than the other one. That's from Wayne Shorter's own release.
I should clarify, Colin, that the title of that track is Orbits, but it's from an album called Without a Net.
Yeah,
and it's features, it's his working quartet now of Brian Blade on drums, Donel Perez on piano, and John Patitucci on bass. And I think those guys are what make this album special, I think. It's a great quartet.
We actually kind of have to keep moving here, so we cover everything. And Joel Fromm, hopefully he's going to join us in just a few minutes, too, talk about something that he loved this year. But let's go to one of Chuck's selections. This is Chuck Obuchowski's list. We're going to hear from a vocalist, Gregory Porter. This is Liquid Spirit, which is both the name of the track and the name of the release itself.
Reroute the rivers, let the damned water beat. There's some people down the way that's thirsty, so let the liquid spirit free. The people are thirsty because of man's unnatural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind, when the water hits the banks of that hard, dry land. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Get ready for the wave. It might strike like a final flood. The people haven't drank in so long, the water won't even make mud. After it comes, it might come with a steady flow. Grab the roots of the tree down by the river. Dip your cup when your spirit's low. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now.
Clap your hands that now. That is awesome. But Chuck, tell us a little bit more about it. How did it make your list?
Well, I have to say that I've been a fan of Gregory's since his debut album about 3-4 years ago, called Water. And it's been a while since a male vocalist in jazz has really struck a chord with me on this level. About that track, I should say that Gregory's mom was a minister, and you can definitely hear that he's got gospel in his bloodstream. He's also a very familiar with the R&B and soul music of the 60s, and you can hear a lot of that in this album as well. He's actually covers the In Crowd, and he does a great cover of a Max Roach, Abby Lincoln song called Lonesome Lover. So he's got some deep roots, even though he's a younger guy. And this album, I think, will bring him a lot more exposure because it was issued on Blue Note Records, which is a one of the classic labels in jazz. And so he's definitely been getting more attention. I think he made it onto the Tonight Show this year. And I got to say, this track, Liquid Spirit, had the crowd at Litchfield Jazz Festival on their feet and following his instructions to clap your hands, definitely.
And Gene, first of all, before I want to preface this by saying, if Noah Behrman were here, another male vocalist he'd be putting forward is the venerable Andy Bay, who did put out this year one. Andy Bay is, for those of us who love Andy Bay, when he just does just him and a piano, it's usually him playing the piano and him singing. It's a special kind of thing, and that's a special kind of thing too. But Gene, you did have Gregory Porter kind of on your list and then wobbled a little.
I'll make this brief. I voted for Gregory Porter's Liquid Spirit on my ballot in the annual critics poll, which you can find on NPR.org. I was proud to put it there. I like the album. I like him a lot. But as soon as I posted my list online, I had at least three people write back or let me know, where's Cecile McLaurin-Savant's name here? And I said, who's that? And they said, you're an idiot. And so I promptly took that as a challenge or a request to listen to her album, which, by the way, is called Woman Child. And I came to two conclusions. Number one, I am an idiot. And number two, Cecile McLaurin-Savant is the most exciting young jazz singer I have heard in at least 25 years, which I guess counts as a generation. She's the complete package. In terms of tone, in terms of dynamics, in terms of even her diction is impeccable. But even that's not the best thing about her. She does have those kinds of ineffable qualities that we call soul into the record, but she doesn't impose or push it on you. She's 24 years old. She won the Thelonious Monk competition a few years back, which makes me feel more like an idiot because I usually keep pretty close tabs on those. But she just came out of nowhere just in the last month to kind of take me. And if I had heard this record, I'm not saying Gregory Porter would have lost, but he would have had a stiff challenge from this person.
She also has the best eyewear this side of our own, Vivian
Yes, she
Nabetta.
Does.
Vivian Nabetta. She has got the Vivian Nabetta look overall. Well, rather than talk about it, let's play Nobody from the album Woman Child.
When life seems full of clouds and rain, and I am filled with naught but pain, who soothes my thumping, bumping brain? Nobody. When winter comes with snow and sleet, and me with hunger and cold feet, who says, here's 25 cents, go on, get something to eat? Nobody. Never done nothing to nobody.
I really like this woman too, Cecile McLaurin-Salvant. She's, by the way, born and raised in Miami, Florida, to a French mother and a Haitian father. And she does the jazz vocals are the only part of this I know anything about. And she, you hear her there, she's evoking a little bit of Billie Holiday, but she's sort of all over the map. You know, she really can do a lot of different styles, and some of the stuff that she tackles is a little bit more like maybe the kind of thing you'd expect someone like Diane Reeves to tackle. She's, you know, she's straight ahead sometimes, and then other times she's kind of experimenting a little bit. She's really interesting. I would just add my voice of enthusiasm, for whatever that's worth, to all of this.
Colin,
the phrasing is unbelievable. The phrasing is just, you know, ugh.
We're going to see.
Sorry.
I just wanted to say that it's remarkable to me to hear a 24-year-old woman taking on this song that was penned somewhere in the early 1920s, I believe, and getting it to such an extent. And likewise, her interpretation of the Jitterbug Waltz by Fats Waller is quite fascinating.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing. Yeah. We pulled that today just in case we needed it, but I don't think we're going to have time. I think what we got to do right now is take a break. Joel Fromm's getting ready to join us and talk about his favorite cut of the year. So that after this. All right, well, we've got Chuck Obuchowski here in studio with me, Gene Seymour in the studios of NPR in Washington, D.C. And as I said before, we're privileged to have some of the really great jazz musicians in the United States and in the world joining us today to just mention one track. We heard from Gene Ira Bloom earlier. Now we're going to hear from Joel Fromm. Joel Fromm is a tenor saxophonist and composer. One of his recent CDs is We Used to Dance, featuring the cut Bob's Blues, which is, in fact, a description of watching the Packers-Steelers game with his father. At least that was – I experienced Bob's Blues on Sunday, Joel. Joel's here with us. And so I asked Joel to sort of, you know, think about all the stuff that he heard this year. And one thing about Joel is he also plays a lot and plays with everybody. In fact, you're playing with Michael Feinstein right now, this week and next or last, or right? Is that still going on, Joel?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I've got through the weekend still to go with Michael after a week and a half of playing with him.
So I asked you to sort of pick something, and you apologized for picking something where you're actually you play, as it's not your release, it's David Bennett Thomas's release. It's from the album Headspace. Tell us who David Bennett Thomas is, Joel.
Well, David Bennett Thomas is someone that I had not been aware of. I actually have a little artist in residency at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. I go down about three or four times a semester to teach, and he's a composition and a piano instructor down there, and we had met a few times, and he came to a couple master classes that I did, and just floated the idea to me one day, you know, saying, would you come down and record some of my compositions? And I said, sure. And, you know, that happens a lot, and I didn't think too much of it until I went down and met him and rehearsed and played his compositions, and I just thought to myself that as we were playing them, this guy's great. I mean, he writes this beautiful music, and he has his own style, and I was just really kind of blown away by him, and I think this record is really beautiful that he made.
You know, it is really beautiful, and I'd never heard of this guy until you mentioned him. I started listening to it, and this is how bad a control freak I am. The entire premise of this is that the musicians will tell me what cut they love and what cut they want to play and talk about. So Joel tells me about David Bennett Thomas. I listened to the whole CD. Joel has suggested the song Driving Home Music, and I said, you know, I really kind of like this other one. And Joel said, all right, play that one then. So we're going to play Christina's World, 1948. right. That's David Ben and Thomas. You're hearing Joel Fromm play on it. So, Joel, if you were to describe what it is you love about this guy and about this music, is there a way you can put it into words?
I would say that he has kind of a classical composer's perspective on jazz in a way. And this that particular track, as much as I love it, it doesn't quite explain it as much as I would like, but he really has this beautiful modern idea of harmony. He also has if you hear the rest of the record, you'll hear some influence of Philip Glass and some influence of some more modern composers that are sort of flavoring his music. And so I really like him because he's sort of forward looking, and at the same time has a lot of tradition in his music as well.
It's a great, I mean, back to front. I mean, I listened to it as much as I could to get ready for this. And back to front, it's really a great and easily overlooked thing. It's rare that you can mention anything to Chuck Obuchowski that he doesn't already know about, but he did not seem to know about this when it came up. So thanks so much, Joel, for introducing us to David Bennett Thomas and the album Headspace. And, of course, go Packers.
Yeah, that's right. Go Pack.
Oh, Chuck wants to say one thing, too, while you're here.
Yeah, Joel, I just want to give you props for the concert you did in Hartford this past May over at the Asylum Hill Congregational Church, where you presented the spiritual side of John Coltrane's music. And I wish there were more people present for that. It was truly a very powerful experience, especially sitting in the sanctuary there and hearing Coltrane's music being played. You really nailed it, I think. And
thank you. Thank you very much.
Although Colin didn't mention it, Joel actually cut his teeth in jazz right here in West Hartford at the great music program over at Hall High School. So we are blessed in the greater Hartford area to have Joel coming around to visit family from time to time, and we get to reap the benefits because he usually plays when he's in the area. So,
all right. Well, Joel, it's great to talk to you. And I do actually watch the Packers game every Sunday with Joel's very nervous father. and so we're gonna say goodbye to Joel. And now it's time for our Stump the Savant moment. All right. And I will give a Colin McEnroe Show mug. Not that anybody's even given me one of these mugs for myself, but I will get somehow a Colin McEnroe Show mug to either one of you if you can identify the person singing. This is a 2013 release. The person singing on this cut.
I'll take romance while my heart is young and eager to fly. I'll give my heart a try. I'll take romance. Take romance while my arms are strong and eager for you.
The one hint I will give you is this is a person known more for something else than for jazz singing.
Molly Ringwald.
You got it, Chuck. I owe you a mug. Damn it. I don't even have a mug to give. Jack Callahan, paging Jack Callahan. I need a mug right now. I have to make good. Oh, that was good.
Not necessarily proud of knowing that, but we did receive that album at the radio station, and I was impressed.
She's not bad. Once again, for those of you who didn't hear the answer,
it's in her blood, after all. Her father's a jazz musician.
Right. The answer was Molly Ringwald, the great actress from 16 Candles and many other movies. I can't believe you got that. I thought I would absolutely stump everybody on that. All right. So I owe a mug to Chuck Obuchowski and Gene Seymour's Consolation Prizes that we're going to play an Ahmad Jamal piece next from his list. Do you want to hear The Line or Saturday Morning, Gene?
Oh, surprise me.
All right. That'll be we'll hear The Line then. This is from the release, which is called, the overall release is called Saturday Morning. Thank you. So Ahmad Jamal, wondering why we're all interested in that young whippersnapper Wayne Shorter. I think Ahmad Jamal is 83. Gene, tell us about this.
Well, first of all, I'm sure that many of you remember that for quite a while, actually, in the 1950s, Ahmad Jamal was one of the more popular jazz pianists around for an album called Live at the Pershing, whence he did a version called Ponciana, which became something of as big a hit as jazz records could ever become, even then, in those days when it happened more often. He has a greater reputation among listeners and other musicians than with critics. The critics have kind of dismissed him over the years as being somebody who just played along with the beat, just did all these kind of tricky things with percussion and things like that. But even Miles Davis, who was not the easiest one to please for anything, said that he was more influenced by Ahmad Jamal on some level than by Charlie Parker, in terms of his approach to melody and to rhythm. The amazing thing about this album, which, by the way, was number one on my list this year, is that at 83 years old, if anything, he seems to have developed even more facility in kind of blending his approach, his rhythmic approach, and just sort of extracting whatever possibilities he can from the beat in terms of just enhancement, melodic enhancement, or just sort of veering off where the harmony doesn't, you don't expect the harmony to go. It was so amazing. I just could not ignore this one at all because it was just such a, to me, it's such a summation of what has made him so popular over the years.
For some reason, another group of people who like Ahmad Jamal is rappers. Rappers sample him a lot. I think he's been used by Nas and Common and all kinds of...
For the same reason.
Yeah, I think probably for the same reason. Let's do one of Chuck's... I'm trying to manage the clock here so we fit in everything that we want to do here. This is Alan Ferber Nonet, The Compass, which is the title track of the release of the same name. Let's play a little bit of that, The Compass, and then we'll have Chuck say a little bit about it. That's Alan Ferber Nonet. I believe he's a trombonist, right, Chuck?
He is. And actually, that's his big band. His previous release was a Nonet recording, but this album features his big band, although oddly, they don't mention that on the cover of the disc. So it would be easy for you to be confused by that. The album is called March Sublime, and I love his arranging. And he's pulled together some of the cream of the crop of young New York-based musicians, and they just all really work fantastically together. There are a lot of names that people wouldn't necessarily recognize, but definitely names to keep your eyes and ears out for. And he also is very eclectic in his he's a great composer, but what he chooses to cover is intriguing. He's got a Bjork ballad on here, hyper ballad, and he's also got a lovely, lovely version of I Get Along Without You Very Well. So kind of all over the map, but somehow it all congeals in his arranging talents.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to grab a quick break right now, come back, have a quick conversation with Noah Behrman, and that should give us time to run through a few more of Chuck and Gene's selections. Oh, we're going to go out with Molly. But not go out with Molly.
Is young and eager to fly. I'll give my heart a try. I'll take romance.
I'm really ticked off that Kenny G is not represented this year. I realize he didn't release a 2013 recording, but my feeling is that any recording he's ever done should be okay because they're not all that different.
Today's show was produced by Colin and me, while Betsy Kaplan is on a one-day eggnog detox program. And be still our hearts, Lydia Brown is our emergency phone goddess today. The part of Bill Curry was played by Stan Getz. Greg Hill tweets for us at WNPR Colin, and for links, articles, explanations, and gifts of the Faith Middleton Show staff demonstrating their jazz hands, visit our great website, WNPR.org. On tomorrow's show, the nose goes inside Llewyn Davis, which is kind of a weird image. Sorry about that. And now, back to Colin.
We asked some musicians to join us today and talk about their favorite releases of the year. One of them is Noah Behrman. You just heard him a few days ago on Where We Live. He's back on this show. He's straight out of Wesleyan. He's got a great new release coming out in March 11th, called Ripples. But Noah, tell us, I just asked you to sort of name one release of 2013 that you really loved and tell us one cut that you loved in particular. So what'd you come up with?
Well, it was hard to narrow down a lot of great releases in 2013, but I narrowed it down to Joe Locke's new album. Joe Locke is a great vibraphonist, and he's a great composer, too, but on this album, Lay Down My Heart, he is playing all what in the pop world we would call cover tunes. A lot of jazz tunes, but also some more pop and R&B material. He does the Bonnie Raitt tune, I Can't Make You Love Me, and Bill Withers' Ain't No Sunshine. And I just find that his approach on this album, not unlike the rest of his work, is extremely soulful without at all pandering. It's very harmonically sophisticated, and his solos are very intricate, but it really hits you right in the gut.
Speaking of all that, let's hear a little chunk of Simone from that very release. Noah Behrman, hearing a little chunk of Simone, what is it? Say a little bit more about what you react to. I mean, I think, you know, some of the people listening to this show today, they may not be jazz aficionados. They might not know how to tell a great vibraphonist from a good vibraphonist. What is it what are you reacting to in a cut like this one?
Well, it is a great Frank Foster tune, and the whole album, and on this cut specifically, there's just a certain soulful quality. It's very hard to quantify what makes that, but I love the way Joe is able to get the real feeling and emotional essence of the blues into everything he does, even when there's actually a lot of intricacy to harmonic stuff, which is to say it's very rich and very sophisticated, but not really cerebral at the expense of the feeling.
You know, listening to this after you recommended it, I mean, another thing that occurred to me, and you've already referenced it, but I think even 5 years ago, and maybe 10 years ago, definitely, maybe 5 years ago, but definitely 10 years ago, we might be having a conversation about his choice of material and the fact that he is reaching into, he's doing songs like Ain't No Sunshine, the Bill Withers song, as you said, he's doing I Can't Make You Love Me, the Bonnie Raitt song, which, as we both know now, was written by an NFL lineman. So he's doing some songs like that that are not part of the jazz canon. And maybe 10 years ago, that was sort of a conversation. You know, somebody like Cassandra Wilson would take a little bit of crap from people about doing a Monkees song or something like that. I feel like that's over, right? I don't think anybody even says boo when somebody does that now.
I wouldn't say we're completely devoid of people who lift an eyebrow to that, but there's less and less of that, and ultimately it largely hinges on how genuine an expression it is, I find. So someone like Joe Locke, these are songs that are part of his consciousness. He's not pandering by going into repertoire that he looks down on in order to reach an audience. They're just genuine vehicles of expression for him. So what can you say negative about that?
Right. Joe Locke is from Rochester. I'm right now, one of the things I'm geeking out about is Rochester's great composer of some jazz standards, Alec Wilder. So now I'm sort of making mental notes of who else in music is from Rochester. So aid me in that effort. But now I can add Joe Locke to my list anyway. And he really is.
Well, one of the other people on my list, the great drummer percussionist Sonny Jane, who's the leader of the band Red Barat, is also a Rochester native. So I guess I unintentionally put a couple Rochesterians in my top five.
Well, no, it's something that's happening. It's happening subliminally. Nobody knows about it, but there's like this whole Rochester thing that's going to explode in the coming year. Noah Behrman, great to have you on our Best Releases show, and enjoy
Thanks
the
so
rest of your holiday season. Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thanks so much, Colin.
And that was Noah Behrman, and you heard it here first. Rochester is the new Harlem. There's going to be a Rochester renaissance. All right. So with us now, Chuck Obuchowski, Gene Seymour. We're going to have time to get to one more of each of their songs. We're going to start with Jamie Baum in a song called The Game. Let's just play that, and then we'll have Chuck talk to us a little bit about it. Of time, we have to fade it a little bit. But Chuck, tell us how the Jamie Baum Septet got on your list.
Jamie is one of my favorite jazz flutists right now. Along, she and Nicole Mitchell have really forged new directions for the flute. And Jamie is also a really fascinating composer. She uses different kinds of things for inspiration. In this case, this music on the album In This Life was inspired by at least one tour. She took a musical tour of Asia, and she became very entranced by the music of the late Pakistani singer Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. And in fact, the track we were just listening to, The Game, is actually penned by him. And it's just, I mean, it's unusual inspiration for a jazz artist, but it works very well. We heard Dan Weiss on the tabla drums there, Indian drums.
Mm-hmm. And he has influenced a lot of people. I mean, even like Eddie Vedder and people like that.
You're
too.
Right.
All right, so I don't mean to rush, but if I don't rush, we won't get through the one last one we want to get to. This is one of Gene's. It's called Conga Danza by Chucho Valdez. Let's play a little bit, and then Gene will have a minute or so to talk about it. All right, that's from Border Free, the release. The song's called Conga Danza. The artist is Chucho Valdez. Gene, tell us about it.
Just to start off with, if any of you out there thought that virtuosity of a very muscular kind died when Oscar Peterson did, this album will tell you that you are wrong, wrong, wrong. Chucho Valdez is a Cuban pianist. He still lives in Cuba. Comes from a whole family of Cuban pianists. of comparable virtuosity. This album is his latest with his group, the Afro-Cuban Jazz Messengers, which conflates not just the Latin sound, but also sounds of South America, all-American hard bop, and many other things. But he is the engine that makes it go. And this particular track, which is the opening track, just takes your breath away from the time his hands all he has to do is just hit the keys. And he's going at like 90 miles an hour. That's how powerful this guy is.
You can hear that power. Hey, all I have time really to do is to say thank you to everybody who helped out with today's show. Very exciting to have Lydia Brown on the phones. I don't know how often that's going to happen, but it was great to have her back into our midst. At one time, she was our all-time superest intern. Gene Seymour has been with us. He's down in NPR at Washington. He's written for Newsday, The Nation, Los Angeles Times, American History. We're going to have everybody's list and selections and stuff like that up at WNPR. Chuck Obachowski is with us. He's the host of Out Here and Beyond on WWUH. So all the names of all the artists and everything that we talked about today, WNPR.org.
I'm Kyone Wolf, and I've been teaching myself trumpet for a while, so here's what I've got. Maybe I should just try playing like Wynton Marsalis.